We're live and we're local. This is a Juno afternoon on Thursday, August 2nd, 2018. Sorry about that. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney. On today's show, Kate Inge will be here with our weekly update from Juno Public Libraries. We'll also get our monthly update from the Juno Douglas City Museum. And we'll hear about a trip south from one of the filmmakers, Kanan Bosler. And also, Nancy DeCherney will be here with Arts Up. Those interviews, national native news, bird note music, and more coming up right here on a Juno afternoon. Weather for the rest of today, rain with highs in the mid-60s, and tonight, rain with lows in the mid-50s, and Friday, rain again, highs around 60. National Native News is next.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The family of a missing Native woman confirmed her body was found inside a truck recovered this week in a lake on the Fort Berthold Reservation in North Dakota. Olivia Lone Bear was identified by tattoos, her brother told the Bismarck Tribune. The mother of five had been missing since October as authorities and volunteers searched for her. Authorities are investigating. On social media posts, her family says they'll release an official statement Friday while arrangements are being made. This week, former President Barack Obama endorsed Deborah Holland. She won the Democratic primary election for New Mexico's first congressional district in June. Holland thanked Obama on Twitter, saying it's a major endorsement and means the world to her. If elected, she would become the first Native American woman in Congress. Meanwhile, Democratic lawmakers are fighting to get more protections for Native women in this year's reauthorization of the Violence Against Women Act. Matt Laszlo has the story from Washington.
In 2013, the Violence Against Women Act added countless protections for Native women, but it's set to expire on September 30th. Democratic lawmakers have unveiled their new proposal, which seeks to make it easier to locate missing women in Indian country, while also reauthorizing the new provisions that allow non-natives to be prosecuted for crimes they commit in Indian country. Texas Democrat Sheila Jackson Lee is spearheading the bill.
84% of Native American women living on reservations will experience some sort of sexual violence. We must protect them.
Native women are 2.5 times more likely to be raped or sexually assaulted than the U.S. average. But in 2010, the U.S. Attorney's Office declined to prosecute 67% of these cases. Jackson Lee hopes to mend that gap.
It promotes safety for victims of violence on the tribal lands, ensuring non-Indian perpetrators who commit sexual assault, stalking, child abuse, and trafficking on tribal lands are held accountable.
New provisions would also improve access to federal crime databases, an issue that Republicans opposed back in 2013 and seem set to oppose again. Democratic Congressman Steny Hoyer says Congress must ensure the act does not lapse.
We are urging our Republican friends not to play partisan games.
The House of Representatives is on a 5-week recess, so the Violence Against Women Reauthorization Act will have to wait until the fall to hit the floor. For National Native News, I'm Matt Laszlo in Washington.
A Navajo Tribal Council committee approved a bill this week involving enrollment requirements. The bill seeks to amend a code to no longer utilize blood quantum as the only way to enroll as a member of the Navajo Nation. It's to help people prove their ancestry, which would require approval through an enrollment committee. Children already born to enrolled members would still become citizens if they have at least 1/4 degree of Navajo blood. Sponsors of the bill say under customary law, those with Navajo heritage have the right to be part of the community and learn Navajo ways. They say the bill is to help people who were placed in foster care, adopted out, born overseas, or other circumstances apply for membership through screening. The Navajo Nation Council has final authority on the bill. The Tunica Biloxi Tribe in Louisiana announced this week it's raising the minimum wage by 17% for employees at its tribal enterprises, including its casino. $7.25 to $8.50 an hour will go into effect Monday. The council says raising the pay was one of its top priorities and will benefit workers and the community. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios by Kwantung Broadcast Corporation. Funding is by Odawi Law Group, provider of Indian Law Solutions, and by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite System.
Supported by Volunteers of America, a premier substance use treatment provider offering a White Bison certified Wellbriety program within their residential Native American treatment services. Applications and more at voanr.org. Support by Humboldt State University. We know what it means to be rooted in community. You can get your master's degree and amplify your voice without leaving your community. Online program applications accepted from August 1st to 31st at humboldt.edu/socialwork.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
You're listening to A Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and today is Thursday, so that means it's time for our weekly Juno Public Library update with Kate Enge. Thanks for coming back, Kate.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me.
Of course. I feel like I see you more than I see a lot of my other colleagues and friends and family.
I know, yeah.
You've been so consistent, but you've always got great information to share, and I'm sure this week is no exception.
Yeah, we have a lot of stuff happening then in the upcoming week.
All right, well, what's on the list?
First, something that isn't happening for the next 3 weeks is we're taking a story time and a toddler time break, which starts August 6th, and it will run for 3 weeks until August 27th is when it resumes again.
Okay. So, what's the reason for the break?
I think to prep for the school year, because the school year is starting here pretty soon, and to kind of finish up summer reading stuff, to just kind of like take care of some administrative business, and then we can kind of start fresh at the end of the month.
Have you had pretty good crowds for both of those, for story time and toddler time?
Yeah, we've had some pretty good crowds. And, of course, it depended on the weather. And we've been really lucky this summer and have some really great weather. So
our luck's run out, I'm afraid.
Our luck's run out. But, sometimes we've had, pretty big crowds. And sometimes, our few loyal regulars have come. But, it's usually – we usually have pretty good numbers for those story times and toddler times, and they're usually pretty fun. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure they will be missed the 6th through the 24th, but they'll resume again after the 24th.
Yeah, and the 27th, yeah. And you're more than welcome. Parents are more than welcome to bring their kids, anytime. And you can do your own story time. You don't necessarily, it's every time, all reading is good reading. So you can always just stop by and do your own.
That's a really good point to make. Okay, so no story time or toddler time from August 6th to August 24th.
Yeah.
All right. What else is going on?
Next Thursday, so not tonight, but in a week, we have our next Great American Read movie. And this time it's going to be a sci-fi classic based on a book by Douglas Adams. It's a pretty fun movie. A lot of people like it. And it's going to be next Thursday at 5:30 in the Valley Library. And that's the 9th, not the 12th, like I originally wrote down.
Thursday, August 9th, 1 week from today.
Yeah. And so there's going to be a fun movie, and there's going to be pizza and popcorn.
Free pizza and popcorn.
Yeah, free pizza and popcorn, yeah.
Yeah,
and everybody's welcome. And I don't know off the top of my head what the movie's rated, but if you think it's okay for your kids, that's, you can bring them along too.
The info is listed on your website.
Yeah.
So if folks are wondering, you can go onto the website and check. We just aren't supposed to talk about it.
Yeah. on the radio.
On the radio.
Yeah.
But there, you did include a hint for the movie. Yep. What is that?
Oh, it would probably be good. You don't want to forget your towels when you come next Thursday.
Okay, good one. All right, great. So that's happening next Thursday at the Valley Library at 5:30 p.m.
Yep.
Pizza, popcorn, movie. And that movie is based on one of the novels that's a part of the Great American Read?
Yep, it is. Yeah.
Excellent. All right, and don't forget to bring a towel.
Bring a towel, yeah.
Okay, and what else?
Well, so we're going to kind of continue the food theme, and next Friday we're going to have – it's a Science Friday. We haven't had a Science Friday in a while. I think it's something that they usually do during the school year when there's an in-service or when school isn't in session. But we're going to have one next Friday. It's going to be the Science of Ice Cream. So if you want to come learn how ice cream is made and how to make good ice cream, you can come to the Valley Library next Friday. That's the 10th from 1 to 3 in the afternoon.
And who's making the ice cream?
That would be Mark Wheeler from COBA.
Oh,
he's going to come do it.
Yeah. Could have guessed that.
So we have an expert.
Yes, he's very good, and he often brings the samples. So we always love to see him in the halls.
Yeah.
Cool. So that is how to make ice cream, science of ice cream. Do you know any more about the event? Like, I'm assuming a live demo, ice cream.
Yeah, we're going to have ice cream, ice cream machines. I'm going to get all the ingredients. We're going to, I think, show how it's made and it's going to be, like, a lot of fun.
All right. Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. Do you know what flavors you'll be making?
I'm not sure.
When it comes to homemade ice cream, I just like vanilla.
Yeah, vanilla is usually the best.
It tastes so much better homemade.
And then you can add stuff to it if you want to.
Of course. Yeah. All right. And then, believe it or not, it's almost time to go back to school.
It is. I know.
So you guys have something called Tutor.com, and that's for kiddos that are going back to school. Tell us more about that.
Yeah. So we're lucky. Tutor.com is a database that you can access through our the Juneau Public Library website, but it's kind of in conjunction with the state library. They kind of also help subsidize it. And it is for if you need help with school. Like, Tutor.com means that there's tutors. So there's live tutors that you have access to, English, math. There's a whole wide variety of subjects. From, like, kids to even adults. Like, I was looking at the website today, and you can get help with, like, job searches, like resumes. If you're trying to write, like, a resume and a cover letter and you haven't done it in a while, like, there's somebody who can help you with that. And you can also create an account, free an account, and have some more extra options. So then you have the options to do practice tests. There's, like, ACT and SAT prep, AP test prep, like citizenship tests and like the high school equivalency tests. There's preps for those, quizzes. If you're stuck on like one particular math problem, you can like submit it and then like get an answer back a little bit later where they kind of like go through all the steps to kind of help you work through it. So if you're somebody who knows you, maybe you need a little help, or maybe you just want to make sure you have a grasp of some concepts, you can go to tutor.com and they can help you out. And there's a live, and I know this because I looked it up, the tutors are available from like noon Alaska time to like, I think, 2 a.m. Like, it's pretty, there's a pretty good chunk of time that you can go on.
Wow, in our time zone.
In our time zone, yeah. That's the other thing is, I know we're especially like here in Alaska, a lot of times there's stuff that's on the East Coast that's either closed or open when we're either asleep or we get off work and everything's already shut down. And so this way, you know, you can go to school and then come home, get help with your homework, and not have to worry about it.
That's really interesting. I have a couple of follow-up questions about tutor.com, and it's okay if you don't know, but do you know where the tutors are? Who are they? Where do they come from?
I don't know who they are, like, but they're kind of like all over the country. I think there's tutor.com, like, asks for tutors, and then there's just people who have, like, you have to have, like, an internet connection, and you can even have kind of do like a Skype call with them if you can either do chat or like do a video call and then have them right there so you can work through stuff. So I think tutor.com hires them, vets them, make sure that they are, you know, probably good tutors.
Yeah,
are,
good,
you know,
they know about their subject.
Yeah, know about their subject. So yeah, you wouldn't want me to be a tutor for like math or something. Yeah, but so they'll have everybody who's qualified and then they can help out.
And so you can just go on the website and start chatting with somebody, or you can create a free account and have access to these other like practice tests and things like that.
Yeah.
What a great resource.
I know. It's great. And we really want people to use it. Like, if you have any questions, like, give us a call at the library. This is like, we think it's a really good resource that not a lot of people either don't know about or they just haven't used it. And we want people to kind of get used to using it because it's going to be a great help.
Yeah. Juneau Public Library subscribes to that service so we can all use it for free. Well, that's terrific. And do you log on to tutor.com through the Juneau Public Library website? Or do you need some library credentials?
You don't need your I tried it at my desk. So, of course, I had library credentials. So you probably will need your library card just in case they do pop up a page and says, okay, so what's your library card? Because they want to make sure that, like, our patrons are using it. And,
right.
And so if you don't have your library card, you can always, like, come in and we can get you a replacement if you need it. And then you could just like sign up real quick for an account, and it's pretty easy.
Well, that sounds great. Thanks for giving us the update on all that information. Mm-hmm. Tutor.com for your kiddos that are going back to school. Yeah, check it out. Yeah. All right, Kate, do you have anything else on your list today?
No, I think that's it for today.
Kate Inge from the Juneau Public Library is here with her weekly Thursday update. And just to recap, we've got Story Time and Toddler Time on a break from August 6th to August 24th. The next Great American Read movie is a week from tonight, Thursday, August 9th, 5:30 at the Valley Library, pizza and popcorn. And Science Friday is coming up at the Valley Library, yep. How to Make Ice Cream, 1 to 3 p.m. Yep. Friday, August 10th. Yeah. And go check out tutor.com. All right, Kate, as always, thank you so much for being here, and we will see you next week.
All right, great. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Support for KTOO comes from Pavitt Health and Fitness, locally owned and open 24/7, offering fitness classes, childcare, and summer memberships for exercising on those rainy days. More information at gopavitt.com. Pavitt Health and Fitness, for your total well-being.
You're listening to A Juneau Afternoon. It's 19 minutes after the hour. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and my next guests are both here representing the Juneau Douglas City Museum. We've got Alyssa Borges and Beth Weigel in the studio. Hello.
Hello. Hi.
And Alyssa, you are the public programs coordinator for the Juno Douglas City Museum, and Beth, you're the museum director. So thanks for taking time out of your busy day to come down and talk to us here on a Juno afternoon.
We're so happy to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, you guys come about once a month and give us some updates, so that's what you're doing here today. And there's a lot of good stuff on the list that I can't wait to hear about, so...
Well,
fire away.
Yeah, let's kick it off with talking about what's happening tomorrow on First Friday. We don't have anything exactly new up in the museum, but we always are offering free admission from 4 to 6 p.m. during First Friday, so come by. We still have the Dan Fruits Princess Sophia paintings up if you haven't seen those yet, and of course a lot of other really great things in our city museum. But the big news for First Friday is that we are helping Legislative Affairs and the Capitol Building host part of First Friday over at the Capitol Building as well. And we're really excited about this. We are helping them reinstate and get going the public tours again of the Capitol Building. And we thought a great way to kick that off would be to host a First Friday over at the Capitol Building as well, because I know I've been in the Capitol Building a number of times to do the work of a citizen, but you go in, you do your thing, and you leave, and you don't really check things out too much. And when we started walking around, it was like, this is like an art gallery in its own right, because there's just so much amazing artwork in there.
It's true. Big canvases, beautiful stuff.
Photographs.
The architecture of the building, too, is also lovely.
That's right. So, and this would be the first opportunity or public invitation, so to speak, for the public to come in, local people, to see everything that's happened since the renovation as well. So,
Is that why there haven't been any tours lately, because the Capitol's been under construction or been renovated?
Well, that was part of the reason, and also the tour program that they had that used high school students and college students that ended several years ago. So this is sort of a renewal of building up the tour program, and our volunteers at the City Museum are going to take on that role and host 45-minute walking tours through the Capitol Building that, you know, gives the history of the building and the various things that are in there, as well as the legislative process. And so it's going to be exciting. And then tomorrow we'll be many of us there to help point people to some of the various floors that have the most artwork and things people might be interested in. So, for example, when you walk into the Capitol Building, one of the first things you see are the two wonderful clay panels by Joan Bugby Jackson. One is called Harvest of the Sea, and the other one is Harvest of the Land. And they're both on that main floor in the lobby, and they're both beautiful pieces. As you move around the building, there's a lot of art up on the fifth floor and the second floor. And, you know, for example, there's some beautiful wood-carved panels by Nathan Jackson. And, of course, I know we have a lot of Sidney Lawrence fans in Juneau.
I'm one of them.
And there are, I think, four pieces by Sidney Lawrence in the Capitol Building, one of which just really, I think both Alyssa and I are just think it's breathtaking, called Wet Weather. So it's very apropos for our change in weather. And it's just a beautiful oil on canvas. And it's on the second floor in the hallway. And it's a beautiful, beautiful painting. And so there's many other artists in there. You know, they've given us a little database of all the various things in there. And there's just, you know, hundreds of things, including old newspaper clippings and articles that are up on the walls, and posters and photographs, a lot of winter and pond photographs, and then this amazing artwork.
That's really exciting. Mm-hmm. And then the tours will resume on a regular schedule.
I don't know if we call it regular, but we certainly will have a schedule.
We're working towards that for sure.
Yeah. I think the rest of this season we'll have our volunteers helping where we can, and then next year we'll work towards having more of a regular schedule.
Okay.
Will begin on Monday, on August 6th, from 1 to 4 will be our first tour led. And then we have another one on Tuesday, 10 to 1. So we are starting next week.
Yeah. And those are free.
Those are free. Yes. That's right.
That's fantastic.
And then we also are taking on their few items that they've sold in their gift shop over at the Capitol Building. We'll bring those over to the City Museum. And one of them includes a booklet that I think we'll have ready for tomorrow to sell. And people may have seen it in the past. It was first put up in 2013 called Art in Alaska's Capital. So it's a nice little booklet that just covers the artwork. It doesn't cover all the photographs and everything, but it's a nice, pictures of the different artwork and then, you know, kind of a little history of the artist and the art.
Oh, that's so cool. I'm excited. Yeah, I didn't know I was going to get all that great news today. It's a good thing I came to the show.
Yeah.
Well, that's terrific. So that's all big stuff and great to hear, but you've got more.
We do. I just wanted to let everyone know that we have two more special walking tours this season, this month. These have been really popular walking tours. One is the Treadwell walking tour with Jim Garrity that takes place over at Sandy Beach. And we have one more coming up on August 18th. That's a Saturday. And we have room. These sell out really quickly, but we still have space. So if anyone's interested, they can call the museum or check out our website for more information. And then we added another Princess Sophia walking tour. These have been very popular. And so we've got one more happening August 28th. That's a Tuesday. And there's more information about that as well on our website. So these have been really, really a lot of fun.
And go ahead. And on the same note of the Princess Sophia, we are also hosting what we're calling our City Salon. So next week on Saturday the 11th, we're hosting what's called the City Salon. It's going to be a community dialogue about local history, culture, and literature. And the first one that we're hosting is on how weather, navigation, and communication contributed to the sinking of the Princess Sophia.
Ooh, exciting.
Yes, and we've invited a few folks to help facilitate a conversation. We'll have someone out there from at the museum from NOAA to talk about weather, and we'll have somebody from the Marine Exchange to talk about navigation, and we'll have somebody from the Juneau Amateur Radio Club doing a demonstration on how Morse code would have worked and how they would have been sending messages. And actually, he's going to tap out a message that was actually sent to or from the Princess Sophia. Mm-hmm. So just to give a sense of really how long it takes 100 years ago to coordinate an effort like a rescue or a retrieval, unfortunately, of the things that happened. So that'll be next Saturday on the 11th at 4:30.
That sounds like a great event. And that is also free, open to the public?
Free and open to the public at the Juneau Douglas City Museum at 4th and Main.
You guys are just doing such great stuff.
Thank you.
I always get so excited when you guys come in and give these updates. Okay, and there's one more thing on the list?
Yeah,
the call for artists?
I just wanted to give a shout-out to all our local artists that we are accepting applications through August 31st for the 2019-2020 exhibit season. So this can be solo or group artists, and the applications are available online, or you can come into the museum to pick one up.
So how's the application process? Is it pretty competitive?
I think it's going to be the first time around for both Alyssa
yeah.
and I.
Oh, is it?
But I know we've had a lot of really wonderful artists in the past. And, of course, this coming season are the artists that were selected last year. Mm-hmm. And we'll have Diane Anderson and Alice Terstick will be one of the first artists up in September, right? Or October.
October and November.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, I imagine you'll be back to tell us more about all that stuff. But in the meantime, where can artists go to get more information or to apply?
They can visit our website at juneau.org/library/museum or just Google Juneau Douglas City Museum. It might be quicker.
There's an option called Exhibit Opportunities. That's what it'll
yeah.
be.
Okay, great. All right. Well, Alyssa and Beth from the Juneau Douglas City Museum, thank you so much for all that great information. Is there anything else you wanted to touch on while you're here?
We're just looking forward to seeing people out on First Friday, and we're excited to show off what we have in our museum as well as what's over there in the Capitol building. So
cool. I'm excited, too. I love to take advantage of free admission on First Friday to the Juneau Douglas City Museum. So thanks again for being
Thank
here.
Thank you so
Thanks.
Much.
See you again soon.
walk on love. You need to do the walk on love.
Support for KTOO comes from LifeMed Alaska, providing Alaskans with annual memberships for emergency air medical transportation within Alaska and beyond. Learn more at lifemedalaska.com.
You're listening to A Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and my next guest is Kanan Bosler, and he's here to talk about a film that he made with a lot of his friends called A Trip South. And yeah, welcome to the show, Kanan.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. This video was a huge undertaking, and it took a lot of, I know you guys worked really hard on it, and you also traveled for a long time, and it's the product of all of that. But why don't you tell us a little bit about the movie and how you made it?
Yeah, so I guess, well, the trip started in 2012, in June of 2012, and leading up to that, we kind of had about a year or so of preparing for it and getting this concept of putting a film together, and did a Kickstarter that a lot of local folks chipped in on so that we could get the equipment. And then we took off from Sandy Beach June 1st, 2012 in kayaks, and we kayaked down to Vancouver Island. That took about 3 months, and there was 12 Juno friends in on that part. And then five of us continued south on bicycles and kind of dragged it out for another year and a half or so, and finally ended in Argentina. And along the way, we were documenting people that we met and just basically trying to capture the experience, and all with this intention of making this film that would be told through the perspective of the people that we met. And so once the trip ended, we got back home, and it's been a couple years of putting it all together and slowly tinkering away with the footage, and now finally have a final product that ready to share with everyone. So,
I've seen a little bit of it, and I can imagine that a lot went into the post-production, as we say, editing and
yeah.
putting everything together. But you also had some really great artistic shots to work with, too. A lot of footage, I imagine. I was wondering, what came first? Did you want to make the film and then you planned the trip to make the film? Or did you want to do the trip and the film came as like a byproduct of that?
Yeah, I mean, kind of a mix, I guess, because in preparing for the film or for the project, for the whole trip and everything, we knew that we wanted to make a film out of it. So we were like getting ready to, you know, go out there with the intention of documenting it all. But we wanted the film itself to be a reflection of the trip. So we didn't really want the film project to guide the trip, but we just wanted to be able to capture it. And so that's what kind of makes it a tricky editing process, which is one of the reasons why it took so long for me to put it all together, is just because it's a lot of different things all strung together, kind of trying to stick to a theme of localized lifestyles and the local people teaching us what they know. But since we weren't always asking a set question or trying to like dig out a theme from everyone, we were just kind of going along and seeing what we would get. And I'm really pretty happy with the way that turned out, because it all kind of came together in the end. But yeah, it's a lot to sort through. Definitely hundreds of hours worth of footage. So
what were some of the biggest challenges on the trip? Just like thinking in terms of travel and logistics and, you know, getting from point A to point B.
Well, basically most of the logistics and complications or just suffering of the trip was just before we left, I guess. Trying to get it all together was kind of the big challenge, was coordinating, you know, how we were going to go from kayaks to bikes and how much gear we would need and how much we should bring with us, and just trying to line up all the support that tons of different people were willing to offer, and trying to take advantage of doing it in the best way that we possibly could. But once we were rolling, it was just one day after the next. It flows quite easy once you're on the road, you know. You're just looking forward to the next meal or whatever and the next campsite. So, since we were making a film project out of it, it did add a little factor of complexity with having to carry all of this kind of expensive film equipment and protecting it and hiding it so that it wouldn't get, you know, spotted and we would be targeted for, like, robbery or whatever. So, yeah, it did add a little factor making it a film project, but otherwise, it was a pretty easygoing couple of years of just cruising one place to the next.
That's great. So you never had a day where everything just went wrong or you had a major catastrophe?
I'm sure there were a couple of those. I mean, we definitely got turned around a couple times. Actually, within the first week, in our first couple of days, we tried to go up Tracy Arm down here in our kayaks We tried to do a full moon paddle because that's when the tide was right for flowing up into Tracy Arm rather than, you know, fighting the current. And so we tried to seize that tide and ride the full moon in, and weren't expecting the katabatic winds to turn on. And right when we came around the corner of the Tracy Arm fjord, it just blew down our throats. And it was a pretty scary situation being in glacial water in the middle of the night and, you know, 2 or 3 foot waves breaking on our bows. So yeah, there's definitely a couple situations like that where everyone was like, okay, this is ridiculous, let's turn around and be smarter.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
And then on the flip side, what were some of the most rewarding experiences you had along the way? I'm sure it's hard to just name one or two.
Yeah. Oh man. Well, that's kind of where the film project helped contribute to the trip, because, you know, with going in with the concept that we wanted to document localized lifestyles and people living in a way that is with a strong connection to their place, we sought out these kind of experiences where we could help people doing what they're doing. And, not all of those turned into film material, but, it kind of gave us a direction to head towards as far as if we're going to hang out in a place for, a week or so, we should try to help these people out with a project that they're doing. So an example of that, let's see, I guess one that comes to mind right now, in Peru, we were helping this group learn how to build ovens out of the local materials that they had in the area. So using this natural building concept called cob, where it's basically a mix of clay, sand, and straw, we would mix this material together. And this guy came down, he was actually an American, but he had actually just moved down to Peru to kind of help this place get off the ground with teaching local folks how to use this building technique. And so it was his first workshop that he had done there. And so we got in on it and got to interact with a bunch of local folks learning how to make these ovens, which are more sustainable and all they need is what's around them. Mm-hmm. And it also can a building process that can easily transfer over to building a home as well. So, that was kind of cool. I mean, does that answer the question?
That's a great example, yeah. Okay. I bet you have a million stories and a lot of similar experiences. But, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
What was the longest you guys stayed in any one place?
Well, usually when we were on the road, if we were going to stop somewhere, we would probably end up being there for a week to 2 weeks, maybe. At the very end of the trip, I ended up staying at the very southernmost city that we got to, called Ushuaia in Argentina, and I ended up staying there for about 2 months. While we were traveling, I think the longest we would stay somewhere would maybe be the maximum 3 weeks.
Hmm.
Yeah.
All along the way, as you were traveling, did you or your group start to, out of all the things you had to bring, did you ever get to the point where you had this item that was like, that suddenly became the most valued thing or the most important thing that maybe you weren't expecting to have relied on so much or to have appreciated so much?
Yeah, let's see. We tried these things out that, we weren't really expecting much out of, but we all ended up getting them right before the trip because we saw that it could be kind of fun. They're called Kelly kettles, and it's basically a basin that you can start a fire in, and it goes up into this double-walled kettle. So you're making a fire, and it has a chimney effect that goes up into this kettle, and you can boil water with it. And we ended up pretty much not using gas-powered stoves for almost the entire kayak trip, probably only used the stoves a handful of times, and then weren't really planning on bringing those on the bike trip because they're kind of bigger items. But after the bike trip is like, oh man, or the kayaking part is like, oh man, we got to keep this with us. This thing is too cool. And so, yeah, it kind of transformed the way that we imagined camping and cooking for camping. We would pretty much do it all with firepower, which was, cool because you could just kind of get more of a sense for the local ecology by collecting sticks and stuff and seeing, you start having an eye for good tinder everywhere you go. Start the fires.
I think that's great. What a terrific shift in perspective.
Yeah.
But now back to the technology side of things, the high-tech stuff. What did you use to shoot the film?
Just used this. It was kind of a higher-end consumer camcorder, so it wasn't necessarily a professional-grade, 4K HD thing. I don't even know if that existed back then. But, it's like a high-definition Canon camera, and it fit in a Pelican case that's, foot by foot, 12 inch by 12 inch Pelican case. So it was on the smaller side, which was important for, you know, fitting into all of our gear. But it shot pretty high quality stuff, and definitely was pretty glad with the product that it shot.
You just had the one camera?
Well, we also had some GoPros as well.
Oh, okay.
And also carrying audio recorders, Zoom recorders to capture different sounds and music along the way. All of the music in the film is recorded on the road, and, you know, tripods, and we're carrying a bunch of hard drives to download all of our SD card footage onto the hard drives, and then we ended up shipping back 5 different hard drives along the way, which local friend Patrick knew was he was our base camp here in Juneau to send back our hard drives, and he would download them onto another hard drive. And once we knew that they were all backed up, then we could start clearing the SD cards and making more space for the next round of footage. But yeah,
cool.
It's kind of a complex process figuring all that out.
Yeah, well, you guys did it. And then, so apart from your friend, did you have a lot of support from the community when you and your gang decided to do this?
Oh yeah, ton of local support is incredible. It was definitely a community project from the beginning. We did the Kickstarter, and ton of local folks contributed to just helping us get the gear. Had a lot of local sponsors, too many that I feel like if I start naming them, then I'll forget some. So you can go to atripsouth.com if you want to see all the local sponsors that helped us out.
And that clip that you sent me ahead of this interview, is that available to watch online?
Yeah, totally. If you go to atripsouth.com, you can find it. Or if you search A Trip South, all one word, in YouTube, you can see our web series. We did six episodes, each 10 minutes chronologically of the trip, and that's kind of the skeleton of the project that I just finished that's going to be showing tomorrow night at the Gold Town at 4, 5, and 6 p.m.
Right.
So I basically squeezed all of those webisodes together into one and just started cutting out everything unnecessary and tried to make it just the most interesting pieces.
Well, I'm looking forward to see the whole thing. And as you mentioned, it is showing tomorrow night at the Gold Town Nickelodeon here in downtown Juneau. Like kind of as a part of First Friday, and the film is relatively short, like 30 minutes.
Yeah, it's 22 minutes.
22 minutes.
Yeah.
So it'll be playing, like you mentioned, like pretty much on the hour, every hour.
Yep, at 4, 5, and 6 p.m.
So that's pretty cool. What are you hoping people will get out of this film?
Oh man, that is the big question. I'm glad you asked. I think I'm actually going to include some audience participation tomorrow night and seeing what everyone gets out of it, because I don't necessarily want people to get one thing out of it. I tried to make the film as broad and everything as the trip itself was, because, you know, we who traveled it didn't just get one thing out of it. And so when it came to making a film that summarized the trip, it was like, I can't just have one message and hammer that through. I know that's a very effective storytelling technique, and, you know, I got tons of advice from all kinds of people to choose one thing and slam it home, but I just felt more comfortable making this film more open to interpretation and letting the people that we met speak for themselves, and just kind of having us in the background as, you know, the consistent figures in the film that you kind of see moving, so you know that it's a chronological thing. But as far as the purpose of the film, I'm hoping that everyone's going to take something different from it.
How did it feel when you got home?
Oh, it felt great. Yeah, I was definitely ready to come home. Yeah, being gone from Juneau for too long is tough. It's pretty awesome place.
Yeah, you miss it.
Yeah.
Kanan Bosler, he's a filmmaker. The film is A Trip South. It's showing tomorrow evening at Gold Town Nickelodeon. Thank you for answering all my questions and indulging me. Is there anything else you'd like to add while you're here?
Yeah, one more thing that I just wanted to make sure to mention is that tomorrow night at the film showing at the Gold Town, at 4, 5, and 6 p.m., there is going to be food served by friends that were on a trip south, and they have since come home and started their own businesses. So we're going to have ceviche, halibut ceviche, coming from a collaboration between Deckhan Dave's and Barnacle, the kelp salsa folks. And we are going to have food there, and it's going to be for sale, and all the proceeds are going to go to the Eagle Crest Cabin Project. So,
a worthy recipient. I can't wait for that cabin to be
done. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you so much for being here. This was super interesting stuff, and have a great time tomorrow night.
Right on. Thank you.
This is Bird Note. Sunrise on a summer morning. In marshes throughout the country, birds awaken. Tall, dense grasses and reeds often make marsh birds hard to see, but their voices carry easily across the lush, green landscape. A male redhead, the sora, an American bittern. The marsh wren. A yellow-headed blackbird song. A pied-billed grebe. A ruddy duck. And a Wilson snipe. Discover more about the birds you just heard on our website, birdnote.org. I'm Mary McCann. Today's show brought to you by the Bobolink Foundation.
All right, you're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney. And last but not least is Arts Up with the one and only Nancy DeCherney.
And a first Friday Arts Up it is.
So we might as well get started.
Yes, because we've got to talk fast. Yeah. Oh, come by the deck to start with and get your little flyer so that you know where you're going. We have Creatures and Collections. It's a beautiful watercolor show by Jessica Hanlon. You may know her for other things that she does, but she does beautiful watercolors. And that starts at 4:30 and goes till 7. And then we will also be having our summer block party, which starts at 5:30 and goes till 7. We have the Wooshchin Dancers and the Juno Jumpers. It's going to be very lively.
Lots of fun.
That
sounds
awesome. Yeah, it's going to have to be indoors because of the rain, but hey. It's okay.
You had a good run.
We had a good run. So come on down for that. Over at the APK, we have Mary Goddard, and she's going to be in the store. And then you'll go into the main part of the library or the lecture hall and learn about Tlingit legends. And
she will be on the show tomorrow.
Okay, you'll get the full details on that. COPA has M.K. McNaughton with new landscapes. Yep, it's always wonderful. And ice cream, of course. So you can stop there. See, Alaska Heritage has Sam Shakley and Renee Culp. It's a Sobeloff building is free on First Friday, so stop in there. Great exhibits that you want to see. Our grandparents' names on the land and several other things that you don't usually, the juried art show stuff is there, so you get to see those for free on First Fridays. So stop in. Annie Kales has Natasha Zahn Priestess. She does beautiful collages. Wonderful flora and fauna and landscapey things. It's very kind of dreamlike, I want to say, but really nice. Stop in there. This exhibit will be up through August. Sequence Board Shop has, and this one's only open on First Friday, is going to have a local Juno artist and a DJ on site playing music. So it sounds like fun.
It does.
They're there from 5 until 8. As you've already talked with Beth about what's going on at the State Capitol and the City Museum. It's very exciting.
I agree.
Yeah, I want to do that one. The Canvas has Fumi Matsumoto. They start at 4 and go till 7.
People are probably familiar with Fumi's work.
Yeah,
but
she was here yesterday.
She does delicate, wonderful stuff.
It sounds really cool.
Print-on tea bags. So, yeah, and that one's going to be up through August as well. Kindred Post also has Woosh Jean Dance Group.
Oh, how
they're
going to be
doing
busy.
That? And we all want to be able to be in two places at once, but they're doing it because the Woosh Jean Group is a big group, and so some of them will be at the Jack, and some of them will be at Kindred Post doing... they're doing a fundraiser. They're trying to get to Australia or someplace. So they're raising money. They're going to have Devil's Club body butter for sale. So
stop in
down there with samples. And Juno Artist Gallery has Marty Sharp. She is a painter on a lot of Southeast scenes. She'll have postcards and bookmarks and everything else. So stop in there. And there's going to be a special feature artist in the Harbor Tea place. So stop in there. Glenn is going to be giving away some things. So stop in and see.
Okay.
He's doing a logo for them, and I think you get a print of the logo, perhaps. I'm not sure. So secret stuff.
I need oregano, so I'll just take care of that.
Time to go. They get down there and get that done. So let's see. There's Camp Damp happening, too, if you just want to go out the road and forget all this stuff and dance. It'll be a little damp, probably, but you were just talking to Kanan, so you know about the trip south. We've talked about the summer block party. After the block party, you can go over to the flight deck, and they have the Doll Hearts as a concert going from 8 until 10. Saturday morning, you can get up bright and early and be part of the Aukman Triathlon.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. That's a 7, 5K, and 19K, and 5K. And then after that, they have a dinner party,
mm-hmm.
so you can do that.
Pretty fun, actually.
Oh, okay.
They came on the show a couple weeks ago. They said it's about the shortest you can be and still call it a triathlon.
Cool.
So they're not making it, like, it'll be a challenge, I'm sure, but it's not going to be super brutal.
So, and the weather won't be too bad. Big Latch On from 10 to 11:30 at the Diamond Park Fieldhouse. This is to celebrate breastfeeding. So come on out and support that. 11 to 1, Family Fun Day is at Copa. There'll be a bouncy house. There'll be all sorts of ice cream from Copa. They will be doing this at Vintage Park, Vintage Boulevard. It's a, I think, Andy Story for House event. There'll be grilled salmon burgers, hot dogs, a new ice cream flavor from Copa, and a bouncy house. So, and outdoor games and such. So come on out and see, find out about that. Douglas Dirt Derby bike race for Juno's kids at Sandy Beach. It's from 2 to 5. They have timed events for 5 to 7 year olds.